Please turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this morning's message will be very similar to last Sunday's message, where we took a large body of Scripture and went through it, and that's what we're going to do this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. I told you some years ago that, Lord willing, I would preach to you from 1 Corinthians 15 every Easter Sunday morning. God did not give me the liberty to do that last Sunday, but He did this morning. And my favorite passage of Scripture is the very first few verses, but Lord willing, we will cover the whole chapter this morning, and with His help. Let us go to Him in prayer. Lord, we do thank You so much for Your precious Word. We thank You that we serve and love and worship a living Lord today. And Lord, we thank You that You indwell in our hearts and lives, Lord, as the living Christ. And Lord, the church is Your body, Lord, that You have given gifts to and talents to serve You and to worship You with and to bring You glory with, Lord. So, Lord, may we grow in Your grace and knowledge and wisdom, Lord, that we can be better witnesses and that we can bring You glory every day in our lives. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, we're looking at the reality of the resurrection, the reality of our faith. And we begin beginning in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15. And, you know, something about this chapter, this is a commentary over the entire Bible. Because the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is about our living Lord and how, why God came in the flesh to die for our sins, because we are fallen mankind and had a curse upon us. But we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and now He is our risen Lord, and He's our mediator now between God and man. And the Apostle Paul is writing, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand." This is what we stand in. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. As born-again believers, as small Christians, little Christ Christians, we stand in the gospel, amen? "By which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all," verse 3, "that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to the Old Testament law, the Lamb without spot or wrinkle, the sacrifice in the heavenly tabernacle. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Verse 4, "And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. He died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again. And whereby we are saved by Him. Now listen, church. Is this old to you? I've read this hundreds of times. I've taught in Sunday school. Same old story. I need something new. Give me something new. You don't want nothing new. Nothing new won't save you. If you can't get excited over what your Lord has done for you and you need something new, you need to fall again with your first love. Jesus died for your sins. He saved you by His grace. I heard an old, old story how a Savior came from glory. How He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. It's not, I read it over and over again. You do not need something new. Something new is a cult. He died according to the Scriptures, and that's all you need. You see, when we have an old hum, I've heard it over and over again, that spills over into you how you witness every day. That spills over into how you live your life every day. You see, if you're not satisfied with God coming tabernacled in the flesh and dying on the cross for your sins, if that does not satisfy you, guess what? Nothing else will either. Nothing else will. This is what Jesus done for you and I. It's a miracle. It's amazing grace that He did it according to the Scriptures in verse 5, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once. And you know what? They all died for this. They saw this risen Lord. And most of them died a martyr's death. Do you think they would have done that for a lie? No, they wouldn't. Seen over 500 people saw Him after the resurrection and saw Him ascend up. But you know what? It wasn't over 500 in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. It was only 120. Last Sunday, there was a whole bunch more people in here and in church across America. But may we be the 120 that seeks Him daily and wants to live for Him daily by His grace. And not have an old hum type of religion, but have a relationship. Over all these people saw Him after the resurrection at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present when He wrote this letter. Most of them were still alive and could testify, yes, the man that was crucified on the cross and was buried, I saw Him alive. They could testify for it. Verse 7, after that He was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all He was seen by me, also as by one born out of due time. At that time, Saul, on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him, and it changed his life. Just like when Jesus said to you, follow me, it changed your life, didn't it? It's still changing your life. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And any time you speak ill of the church or the body, which is the body of Christ, or when you do something against the church, who are you doing it against? Christ. For by the grace of God I am what I am, and hallelujah. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed. When you follow Jesus and when you believe, you heard the gospel message when you believed. Verse 12, now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. That's a horrific thought, isn't it? To be still in our sins. Horrific. And if you're not in Christ this morning, guess what? You're still in your sins. You need a Savior. You need the one who can present you faultless before the throne with exceeding great joy. But praise God, our faith is not futile. And we are not in our sins because of what Christ has done for you and I. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. All of our loved ones that we have put in the grave, out in the cemeteries, they're gone forever and ever if Christ did not come forth from the grave. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men the most pitiable. If Christ did not come forth from the grave, we would be wasting our time right now. We might as well go to the lake or go play ball or do whatever else the world is doing except come and worship and serve and love the Lord Jesus and His church. We might as well do something else if Jesus didn't come forth from the grave. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen. You see, he was explaining how it would be like if he didn't come forth from the grave. But Christ did rise from the grave and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, sin entered in. Adam's sin, Adam and Eve's sin, and death and sin entered in the picture. By man also came the resurrection of the dead. That was Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Verse 23, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward, those who are Christ at His coming. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom of God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Is death. For He has put all things under His feet. But when He says all things are put under Him, it is evident that He who put all things under Him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. He'll be the Lamb in the throne. All things will be subject to Him. He has all authority and power. And the last enemy, death, something that when you think about, what does it do? We don't want to die. I don't want to die, do you? And it's something that wears on us. And it's an enemy of us because of sin. But He's going to put an end to it. And we will be forever and ever with Christ. Let's read on. Verse 29, otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead do not rise at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? What is this scripture talking about? What's the chapter talking about? It's talking about Jesus and His resurrection. And folks, we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And if you're saved this morning, you have been baptized in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You are immersed in Jesus Christ. We don't want a little sprinkle of Christ. We don't want a little pouring of Christ. Our life is in Christ. are baptized in Jesus, our life is immersed in Him. But if He did not rise from the dead, then we are immersed in a dead person. Why would we want to be baptized in a dead person? Why would we want our life? Why would we want to give our being to a dead person? I wouldn't, would you? Others have read all sorts of things in this one verse. But it's about Jesus and His resurrected. So why would we want to be baptized for the dead? I'm baptized in the living Lord, amen? My life is hidden in Christ, in God, a living Lord. Verse 30, and why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I mentioned in Sunday school class, the lesson was about being in Christ and being saved by grace and living for Christ. And it was brought out in our Sunday school lesson that every day I have to die. I have to say no to self. I have to kill I every day. Not literally, but myself and I, my selfish desires. I must die to that to live for Christ. It's a daily thing. I die daily. Verse 32. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's Ecclesiastes. We're not in a living Christ and in a living Savior, then eat and drink, be merry. Because that's all there is. So much more to life, isn't it? Why would I want to fight with beasts in the Colosseum if I'm doing it for a dead person? Verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Don't mix around with people who don't believe in the resurrection. Be a witness to them. You know, don't be around people who believe you can baptize for the dead somehow so that they can, at the judgment, be accepted by Christ. That's not what it says. Not what it says. Verse 34, awake to righteousness. Wake up and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Some are saved, some are not. Some are called, some are not. Some have Christ in them, some are not. And in the church, there's some wheat and there's some tares. There's good fish and bad fish. I speak this to your shame. Some does not have the knowledge of God. Follow Christ. Live righteously. Wake up to it. Verse 35, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. Easter weekend, by the way, those who give me corn, please keep doing it. But I planted 3 little rows of corn, a little hobby of mine. And that corn, it was the ugliest corn I ever seen in my life. It was shriveled up and dead. And it was all crinkly. And I put that corn in the ground. And guess what's coming up through the ground right now? Little old green things like that. I know some of you, I may have done it too late or too early, but I did it, okay? And it's coming up. That little corn was dead when I put it in the ground. It had to be for it to come alive. And now it's going to produce, Lord willing, lots of it. And what you sow, verse 37, what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. You see, I didn't pop open a can of corn and put one of those corns in the ground. I put in the dead one, you see. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish. By the way, there's a difference between men and animals. Amen. Here's another proof. Another of birds. Some have scales, some have feathers. Some men have hair, some don't. Okay, we're all, you know. Some are smart, some aren't. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in corruption because of sin. And we die because of sin. We have ailments and diseases because of sin. We live in a fallen creation. This body must die. We may beautify it up and perfume it up and wash it and comb our hair and all that, but it's going to die. It has to, because of sin. I don't want to live forever in this body. Do you want to live forever in your body? I'm a 45-year-old and an 80-year-old body, I think. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. Our flesh is so weak. Jesus said the flesh is weak. Sown in weakness. It is raised, hallelujah, in power. Resurrection power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. See, that's the difference between Adam and Christ. In the first Adam, we die. But in Christ, we are alive. 46, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and natural word, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Hallelujah. He's still working on me. He's still working on you, but He's going to complete it. Friday was Brother Buddy Stevens' funeral. And I had the opportunity to share from Jude, verse 24 and 25, where the Lord of heaven will present us faultless before the throne with exceeding great joy. That's grace. That's grace. And someday we will be presented faultless because of what Christ has done by His grace. We are going to be in the image. The Apostle John says in 1 John, we will be like He is. That's what he says. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. See, even what we do will be tried by fire. If we do it in corruption and in the flesh, it'll be burned up. But if the Spirit of God does it in us and through us, guess what? It's going to be a worthy work to bring Jesus glory. Verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is talking about the second coming. See, a dead Christ cannot come back another time. But a living Christ can. And He's coming back. He could do it today. I believe with all my heart we're in the last days. We'll be changed. In a moment, verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? It's gone. Jesus took the sting of death for us. Oh, hell or Hades, where's your victory? You see, death does not have victory over us. Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are not victorious over death. We are not victorious over this flesh unless we are baptized, immersed. Our life is in a living Lord. He's alive. What are we to do? We have such a great Savior that has saved us by grace and mercy and love and will present us faultless. What do? Therefore, my beloved brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ, my brothers and sisters, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable. To be steadfast and immovable, it cannot be in a oh-hum type of faith. I've heard this over and over and over. I'm tired of it. Can't be that. But steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If God has called you to do something, be about doing it. That don't just apply to preachers, by the way. Oh, he quit the ministry. I wonder if he's called. Well, what have you quit? But be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's work to be done, folks. There's work to be done. My Mama Gladys, the only song she could play on the piano was, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes." Only song she could play, but she could play it good. Will you work till Jesus comes? Some of you do all sorts of things out yonder, and you have a calling in the church, and you're not doing it. You'll give your free time and volunteer time to something else instead of loving Jesus and His church. Some of you are retired here, but working yourself to death out there. You got your priorities messed up. I'm not talking to you in anger in any way. In any way. But your priorities are messed up. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing. How do we know? We serve and live for a living Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain when it is in the Lord. Stay with Christ. Stay with Christ Jesus. You don't want a new thing. All you need is Jesus. That's all we have. Will you follow Him? Will you follow Him and profess Him publicly? Will you follow Him in believer's baptism that shows and pictures what this whole chapter was about? It symbolizes it all. Will you follow Him in serving Him in the church? It's not in vain. Let's pray. Lord, we do give You praise and honor today. Lord, we do it now because we know in eternity we will be praising and giving You honor for all eternity. You deserve it. You deserve it because You're going to present us faultless. God, we're saved by grace. Help us to live by grace. And because of the love You have showed us, help us to live for You, this love that we have for You. We ask it, Lord, and ask help in it. In the name of Jesus, amen.